Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to actress Maisha McQueen and playwright and director Eugene Lee about their new True Colors Theater production of East Texas Hot Links. The show debuts this weekend at the Southwest Arts Center. I also talk about this week's Emmy Award nominations with Ed Adams from the African American Film Critics Association. We'll also be playing music from Jill Scott, M People, and more. But first, here's Reva Blue with this week's casting buzz and entertainment news.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Rose Lott Casting is looking for African-American men and women dancers for an upcoming project. The men must be clean-shaven or willing to shave and have their hair trimmed for a 1950s look. No bald heads or harsh fades. The women must have natural hair. No hair extensions, braids, or twists. The production date is Friday, July 26th, with required fittings on Monday, July 22nd, and Tuesday, July 23rd. If this is you, please submit your three photos, including head, body, and a selfie, along with age, height, and weight, to extras at roselottcasting.com with dancer7/26 and the subject line of the email. In other related entertainment news, don't forget to tune in to TV One's original movie, Love to Death, Sunday night at 8 p.m. The film stars Melinda Williams and Tobias Trevelyan as a newly engaged couple whose lives are cut short when they are suddenly gunned down by a crazed ex-lover played by McKinley Freeman. It also stars MC Light and Christy Ferris. And finally, check out the season 4 trailer for OWN's mega church drama Greenleaf at WCLK.com. The Greenleafs are in a battle of take back their name and church, Calvary Fellowship, from the clutches of Harmony and Hope Faith Ministries. Look for guest appearances by Beau Bridges and Sean Blakemore. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue.
Support for WCLK programming comes from Life Lux Jazz, November 7th through the 11th, on the beaches of Los Cabos, Mexico. This year's festival lineup includes Atlanta-based Ernest Quarles, Pieces of a Dream, Alex Bouillon, Donnie McClurkin, and more. In addition to the music, there will also be health and wellness activities, a Spirit of Jazz brunch, and sunset cruise. Information is available at LifeLuxJazz.com. That's LifeLuxeJazz.com.
You're here. I'm pleased, I really dig your company. Your style, your smile, your peace mentality. Lord, have mercy on me. I was blind, now I can see. What a king's supposed to be. Baby, I feel free.
Let's take a long walk around the park.
What's happening? This is Aldis Hodge, star of Showtime's City on the Hill, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius on WCOK 91.9, Atlanta's Jazz Station.
My first segment features actor and playwright Eugene Lee. He's teaming up with Kenny Leon's True Colors Theater Company and presenting his play, East Texas Hot Links. Joining him is actress Maisha McQueen, who stars in the show that opens this weekend at the Southwest Arts Center.
Maisha McQueen and Eugene Lee, welcome to Upfront. How are you?
Good.
Doing well, thank you.
So happy to have you both here in the studio. Got a chance to see the show the other night during the final dress rehearsal, and I've got to say bravo to you both. It was a really, really a great show.
Thank you.
A really good show.
Thank you.
So before we get into East Texas Hot Links, let's talk about, you were recently involved in Kenny's show American Son that was on Broadway, and that was also picked up by Netflix. You guys are going to be doing something with Netflix. So can we talk a little bit about that? Because there was a lot of buzz about that show.
Yeah, I hope there's a lot more buzz about it. I think sometime in the fall, it'll be premiering on Netflix.
Okay.
It was great, man.
Yeah.
You know, to be in a hit Broadway show with people like Kerry Washington and Stephen Pasquale and Jeremy Jordan, a wonderful script. A timely script that resonates, you know, from the headlines today. And we fill that house up every night for what, 20 weeks, I think it was.
Mm. Well, I did not get a chance to come up there and see it, but from Instagram and looking at things on social media, everyone enjoyed it. Everyone was so excited about coming to see the show. And when we found out that they were going to do a Netflix special, it was like, oh, wow, this is going to, you know, you're going to be able to reach a broader audience. So really excited about that.
We're excited about a lot more people getting an opportunity to see it, if you know what I mean. A limited run on Broadway, you know, only so many people will get a chance to see it. But, you know, that's a very important story. And, you know, I wouldn't want to give a whole lot of it away because of that. But it resonates from the headlines today, like I keep saying. I mean, Carrie's a mother who's in the police station, the Miami police station, and at like 1, 2 in the morning because her son, her 18-year-old son, was stopped by the police that night. And she's there to find out what happened to him.
That sounds very familiar with what's going on.
Yeah.
Like you said.
Yeah.
So let's get into your show, East Texas Hot Links. When I posted on social media the other night that I was there for the final dress rehearsal, I had a Texan say, wait a minute, that name is highly regarded here in Dallas. And that's a real thing. So let's talk about the title and the story itself.
Well, you know, Hot Links are like a sausage that, you know, that have their home and or their origins, I guess, in a couple of different cities in Texas. But it's a fairly staple entree that you can get, you know, in Texas places. But when I sat down to write this play, I actually sat down to write an episode of Twilight Zone. And my wife gave me the word restaurant, which led me to food, which led me to the food chain, which led me to links, which led me to Hot Links, which led me to the basic theme of this play, which is the play's about how we feed off of each other.
Hmm. And wasn't this sort of inspired by a real incident? I think there was, you had written this show back in the 90s, and then there was a situation that happened afterwards. Is that correct?
No.
No?
No, not that okay. I'm aware of. I make this stuff up.
Okay.
It's all founded in the truth, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But no, it's not based on an actual incident. No.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Not. Yeah.
And Miss Maisha, let's talk about your role, the gun-toting, Charlesetta? Is that it?
Charlesetta.
Charlesetta, yeah. Let's talk about her.
Well, she actually totes a bat. but she is definitely a firecracker. Her father owned this place that they all come to gather, and he has passed, and she has taken it over, and so she's the only female amongst a group of men, and so of course she has to assert herself and make sure that she, you know, they know the laws of the land,
yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah, and you carry your own in the show. I mean, it's like it truly is you and the guys.
Yes.
And so you have to play mom, you have to play sister, you have to play auntie, you have to play lover,
girlfriend. Yep. Yep. All of those things.
What do you enjoy the most about playing her?
I would say this. Basically what you said, that she's able to sort of put on all of these different layers like so many women, particularly black women, do. I think Eugene has written a script that allows me to show my maternal side, my sexy side, my, you know, tough side, my masculine side, my feminine side, my weak side, my strong side. And I think many women can attest to having to wear all those different layers, you know, from day to day. And so that's, I think, the most enjoyable part about it for me.
Yeah. Eugene, we were talking offline before the interview that the show moves really fast, which is, I love it because it's almost like you're on this roller coaster and you're like, more, I want more. When are we going to go higher?
Well, yeah, you know, it was inspired a lot by Rod Serling and Twilight Zone. And I was always amazed with what that man could do in 30 minutes. Mm. I mean, with one character sometimes, in one room sometimes. It was just compelling drama, but it was also the human condition, but with a little twist to it, you know. It's not straight up. It's not 6 o'clock. It's 5 minutes to 6. It's just a little off center, if you know what I mean, which also makes it kind of attractive and which makes it another world-like. Mm-hmm. Which makes people look at it differently, which makes them look at it with a different kind of attention, because it is just a little askew. And I think they hear the themes a little bit differently and a little bit with a different kind of clarity from that perspective. So yeah, and a fast pace, there's a little sleight of hand that happens with any kind of art, I think, where you don't give an audience time to think a lot about what they're getting. You know, some people, I've had someone say about this play that it takes you and it snatches you out of your seat and it kisses you and it tickles you and it slaps you and it spits in your face and then it throws you back in the seat and says, now go home and think about that.
Mm. Very much like life.
Yeah. Well, you guys, thank you so much for being a guest today on Upfront. That is the cast of East Texas Hot Links, Miss Maisha McQueen, and the playwright and director Eugene Lee. This show is taking place now through August 11th at the Southwest Arts Center. You can get more information about the show and watch the trailer at WCLK.com. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you for having us.
Support for WCLK programming comes from We Are Live Entertainment, presenting A Night of Class with vocalist Dionne Warwick on Friday, August 23rd at 8 p.m. at the Fox Theater. Miss Warwick will be accompanied by a full orchestra. The evening will also feature Peebo Bryson and Denise Williams. Ticket information is available at foxtheater.org.
You walk on in.
Tran.
And you are listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
Nominations for the 71st Primetime Emmy Awards were announced this week, and Ava DuVernay's riveting Netflix film, When They See Us, picked up 16 nominations, including Outstanding Writing and Directing for DuVernay and Outstanding Lead Actor for rising film star Jarrell Jerome. Other nominees include Billy Porter, Viola Davis, Niecy Nash, Sterling K. Brown, and Anthony Anderson. Joining me to discuss that and a lot more is Ed Adams from the African American Film Critics Association.
Well, Ed Adams, welcome back to Upfront. How are you?
Oh, thanks for having me again.
Yeah, this has been an exciting week. You just got back from out of town.
I was in London to see Grace Jones and Jamiroquai.
Am I telling your business?
You can tell my business because I'm telling everybody.
Yeah.
It was the best show.
I saw the video, I saw the photos, and was so jealous seeing Grace Jones on stage. That was awesome.
Yeah, she did it. She did it. I won't go into details because she was as... Everything you know about Grace Jones, she just brought to the stage.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Were you in London when these nominations, the Emmy nominations came out?
Yes.
Or were you coming back to the U.S.?
I was actually in London when they were announced.
Okay. Yeah. So real excited. If you have been living under a rock, you totally missed this week, this past Tuesday, were the announcements for the 2019 Emmy Awards. And a lot of nominations, a lot of African-Americans, people of color were nominated. I think at least 25.
Yeah, it was over 20.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That were nominated. Of course, Ava DuVernay for her epic series, Netflix series, When They See Us, along with some of the actors from that film, Jarrell Jerome, Asante Black, Niecy Nash, Michael K. Williams, Anjanue Ellis, Vera Farmiga, and Marsha Stephanie Blake. Other nominees, Billy Porter, Sterling K. Brown for This Is Us, as well as Ron Cephas Jones. I love him. He's so good. Legendary actresses, Felicia Rashad and Cicely Tyson were also nominated, as well as Glenn Turman, Colonel Taylor,
yes.
from A Different World, Mahershala Ali, and RuPaul, and as well as a host of others. I want to get into Ava DuVernay's When They See Us, because that actually received 16 nominations. I think that is probably one of the most talked about films of 2019. There are a lot of folks that, you know, we saw this movie and it just, it was almost like getting hit by a truck four times.
It was a hard pill to swallow. You know, I mean, growing up in that time and knowing about the then Central Park Five, now we say the Exonerated Five.
Right.
It was just kind of hard to watch and to get, and especially in this political climate where we're dealing with so many issues of race and abuse of identity and privilege. You, to see what has happened in that film was just, it was just kind of jaw dropping, but it was amazingly done. Ava just knocked it out the park. Incredible acting, incredible photography, incredible writing. It was amazing.
Yeah, and she's actually being nominated for Outstanding Writing for a limited series, her and Michael Starberry.
Yeah, which is the episode 4 of that episode.
Yeah, we
can go there, but it's so intense.
Which was probably, I mean, well, all of them were hard to watch, but episode 4, I think, of Corey Wise, his story, that was played brilliantly by Jarrell Jerome, who's been nominated That was just... I saw the film prior to it coming out the first two episodes, mm-hmm. and it was, I literally almost walked out of the gathering spot, which is where they had the screening.
Okay.
And then I took a couple of days off to watch 3 and 4. My sister watched it all the way through and was like, you're in for a doozy when it comes to 4. And I remember watching it, and I had a moment again. It was, I almost walked out of my house because it was like, okay, I gotta.
Not your own
I just
house.
Yeah, I just gotta get out of this atmosphere after watching that. It was really, I was going right into dinner, and it was really, my mom was like, you're real quiet. And I was like, yeah, I was still in that moment. And
I mean, so, it's how can you, I mean, as a black man in this country, you can't walk away from the issues that they've, I mean, on some microcosm, not maybe to that effect that they've gone through, but we've all had some type of aggressions against us. And so to watch that kind of manifest on screen, it does kind of pull you in. And the problem with it, it's not a problem, but what's really great about it, it doesn't let you go.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't let you forget what happens to these young men. And it's a really powerful kind of thing and a testament to some really incredibly good writing.
So here's what Jarrell Jerome, who plays Corey Wise in When They See Us, this is what he told the New York Times when he was asked, did you have a sense that this would resonate with viewers? And his answer was, it's what I prayed for. I wanted it for the 5 men. I prayed that the title would come to fruition and that we would actually see these men for who they are by name, not by moniker given to them, the Central Park Five. So in terms of seeing the impact reach the world, that's right. That's right there. That right there is the job for me. Even if it's one person who says, wow, I can relate and I can feel it moves me. It's the biggest blessing, and it goes beyond any nomination or any award. And so that's what he told the New York Times about just the impact. And I think everyone, again, there are some who have not seen it, who can't bring themselves to seeing it. He even talks about that as well, mm-hmm. that, you know, it's okay. I understand. He said that there were times that he had to stop watching it himself. And he acted this, you know, he acted this role out.
And I think there was actually, they had therapists
yeah.
on set to help them deal with some of these issues and the things that were happening. I heard there was a lot of apologies to yeah. each other yeah, in yeah. some of the scenes. So, yeah.
Another show and an actor that is making a mark is, of course, Billy Porter in the series Pose, the FX series Pose. And I got to tell you, if you have not seen this series, you got to sit there and watch it. It makes you laugh. It makes you cry. It makes you dance because the music, the soundtrack.
The music itself takes
I need
you
them
back.
To release a Pose soundtrack. It really does. It takes you back. And I don't call this an LGBTQ series. To me, this is a series about American history. This takes you back to a time period of when we as Americans were very uncertain about this three-letter thing that was happening to many of us in our community, yeah. HIV, and just was uncertain about what was going on, what was happening with individuals. You had a lot of folks that were here today, gone tomorrow. And so Pose really looks at what was happening in America at that time. So that's why I mean, when you look at the headlines, of course, it says LGBTQ series, it's making history, but I really see this as an American history story.
No, I mean, kudos to, like, you know, Ryan Murphy to create a show that's kind of as bold as this is, right? You know, it's a time capsule, like you're saying, but it's a slice of life to a culture that's been forgotten for so long, right? And when you think about, like, the trends that they talk about that came about from ballroom culture and these balls that were happening, it does speak a lot towards where the origins of some of the pop culture things that we talk about today that have now come and resurfacing are there. But it also speaks more importantly about the AIDS crisis, the AIDS epidemic at the time, and how the country was not prepared for it and how this community dealt with it. And they deal with it depending on the persons and the actors and actresses in this. They deal with it in different ways, right? So there's denial, there's acceptance, there's the economic parts of it. There's the sexual parts of it. There's so many different parts and ways to look at this. And I'm happy that, you know, it's in its second season now. It's doing really well. People are very excited about it. And Billy Porter deserves really does deserve this nomination.
And we were all glued the other night to find out if those guys were going to get on that Madonna tour, which is, you know, a part of the storyline for a couple of the episodes. But Billy Porter has made history as the first openly gay man to have a Emmy nomination for lead actor in a drama series. And this is what he told People magazine. "I feel really blessed to have lived long enough to see this day, to see the world transform in this way where our story gets to be told on this level with this kind of juice behind it, Ryan Murphy behind it," Porter says, it's real life altering. So, and I know that when we had an opportunity, or when I had an opportunity to talk to him that first season, he was very, very humbled by just the so many folks, you know, tweeting about it, reposting, really wanting the show. Because there was a time when I think that the show was, there was a rumor that they may cancel the show. So he was really excited that, folks were excited about the show, the music. He talked about, he was like, "I know they love us because this music is expensive. Diana Ross and Whitney Houston, that's not cheap music." And so, like I said, you get to dance, you get to sing, you get to cry, you get to laugh during this series. So really, really good show. Let's also jump on, because we're running out of time, outstanding variety special. This includes Carpool Karaoke for James Corden. I'm messing up my names here. Springsteen on Broadway. Homecoming, a film by Beyonce, Hannah Gadsby for Nanette, and Wanda Sykes, Not Normal. Now, what's interesting about this is, you know, everyone knows, and if you're a real fan of Beyonce, you'll know that she wants to become an EGOT, which is the winner of an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony. So we know that she's got the Grammy thing on lock. She may get an Emmy Award this year for Homecoming. I mean, that was another... the concert that she did for Coachella was just, to me, that was probably her most memorable concert. It was definitely one of the most talked about concerts of last year. And the fact that they were able to bring that to Netflix and put that in a film form where you can go behind the scenes and see this epic concert come together.
And still tell a good story about our culture.
About our cultures,
And, you know, it exposed people in the Beehive who are not exposed to HBCUs and the legacy and what that culture is, it kind of like introduced them to it. I know probably people are like, what is going on? But I love it.
And it was not a show that I think that people thought that she would do, because it was considered a quote unquote very black show.
Right. She owned Coachella. I remember I started getting like tweets. They're like, "Have you seen the videos of Beyonce's show at Coachella?" And I'm like, "What?"
Yeah.
And I saw clips. I'm like, "This is everything. This is everything." So I was like, "Please put this out on DVD so I can watch it." But it's on Netflix.
So here's the thing. If she picks up this Emmy, and then there's also buzz about her possibly getting a Oscar nomination for the newly released song Spirit, which comes from the soundtrack of The Lion King, which is in theaters this weekend, that moves her closer to that status. Yeah. So do you think that she might, you think she might get this?
I think, you know what? The Beehive is strong. The Beehive is strong. And, you know, and the thing, like, when you think about these are really superlatives, right? These are peers voting for their peers. Beyonce has a lot of friends and a lot of followers. I do think she could probably pull this off.
And really, do you think that she could possibly get that Oscar nomination for Spirit?
Because
this is an entire album that she executive produced. It includes her husband, Blue Ivy, Pharrell, so many names. And then a lot of African artists are also on.
Yeah, and Hans Zimmer, like, who did a lot of the soundtrack as well. I mean, it's a really good soundtrack, just to be, you know, to be honest with you. But I mean, I could see her getting it. Yeah. I could see her getting it and getting closer to an EGOT.
That EGOT status.
I just want to say that, if she gets it, it would be a good thing.
Yeah.
It would be a good thing. We need more people of color to have these kind of accolades.
Exactly. Well, Ed, thank you so much for being a guest today on Upfront. That's a little bit of our coverage for the Emmy Awards, which will actually take place on September 22nd at 8 p.m. at the Microsoft Theater in Los Angeles, California. We're really excited. I actually want to be there.
Oh, yeah?
I'm going to try to figure out how to get there.
Get your ticket, boy. Get your ticket.
You can get more information about those nominees at WCLK.com. Ed, thank you so much again.
Thank you.
Well, that'll do it for this weekend's show. I'd like to thank all of my special guests, Maisha McQueen, Eugene Lee, and Ed Adams. I'd also like to thank my engineer, Jami Wellman, and you. Please join us next Saturday, July 27th, for another exciting edition of Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta, and a very happy birthday to the voice of Casting Buzz, Ms. Reva Blue. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.